Temptations. And while you're turning there, Brother Sam, I want you or Tim one to come up here right quick and give us a word of testimony right quick about what happened to you out on visitation. We had our all-day visitation. Be real quick. Tell about the Lord done out there yesterday. Many of you were here last week, and you saw our bus workers and bus kids. And we went out and had an all-day visitation yesterday, or many people did. And these boys come back with a good report. And he's just going to take a minute and tell you what happened to him, Brother Sam, out there yesterday out on visitation.
Everybody knows who Sam is. Wave your hand, Sam. It wasn't just me. It wasn't just Sam. We went into a house over on Highway 10, a man 76 years old, named Dewey Roberts. I can't ever remember his first name because I kept calling him Mr. Roberts. And he had just got out of the hospital, and something happened to his esophagus, and it shrunk down to about the size of your finger, and it busted open. He'd lost 8 pints of blood, and it's just by the mercy and grace of God that he'd made it back home. And Sam and I got to talking to him, and the old fella broke down and started crying. And God gave Sam and I the privilege to lead this 76-year-old man to the Lord. Now, if it ever happens again, he's had 2 heart attacks and a lot of health trouble. We're glad that he's ready to go now.
And I tell you, I don't know if you realize it or not, but the odds of a person being saved after they're 7 years old is something like 1 out of 750,000. It just don't happen. You wouldn't think that. You probably might not even believe that. But there's something about people, the longer they wait, putting it off getting saved, the harder it is for them to come to Jesus. I've talked to people in the hospital who were drawing their last breath nearly and still wouldn't get saved. It's a strange thing. You'd think that a man, as he begins getting ready to die, would really, really turn to the Lord immediately. But that's what you get for fooling with the devil. The longer you wait, the harder your heart gets and the more difficult it is for you to get the truth. Now I'll read you in Lamentations chapter 3 this morning. These are the Lamentations of Jeremiah. 5 chapters in this book. 22 verses in the first one. 22 verses in the second one. 66 verses in the third one. 22 verses in the fourth one. And 22 verses in the fifth one. It's arranged in an unusual way. But I don't believe it's an accident. Don't know what it means, but I don't believe it's an accident. Lamentations 3, verse 21. All right, listen carefully now as we read the scripture. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I like to preach on that last phrase this morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Jeremiah was called, the man who wrote this scripture, was called, and as kind of gained the name, I guess, of the weeping prophet. The word lamentation comes from the word, of course, as you know, lament. He had lived in the bottom of a well, wept day and night for the slain of his people. He wrote these verses of lamentation, of crying, tears running down his face. I don't know how many of you have ever lived to see days where you didn't do anything but cry. I don't know if any of you, or I'm sure some of you have, lived and cried so much that you couldn't cry no more. Has your heart ever been broken so deeply and badly that you just cried until no more tears wouldn't come out? That's the way Jeremiah did. And according to the Bible, he wept and prayed. But in the middle of all his weeping and crying and living in the bottom of a well where there was slime and water and mud and bugs and rats and no telling what, He could still look up and point to God and say, great, God is thy faithfulness. One of the greatest things about God is that you can absolutely depend on Him to be what He said He'd be. He never changes. I can't even describe to you this morning how I feel when I say that word, great. When I think of God's faithfulness, His compassion's not failing. Him letting that sun come up every day on the wicked and on the good, letting the rain come down, even the way people are living today in cursing God, spending their time blaspheming God, hating the Bible, hating the church, God still lets it rain and lets their crops come up and feeds them every day. Great is God's faithfulness. Men are unfaithful, but God is not faithful. He'll never, ever fail you. I run into a lot of people who quit going to church, and I go and visit them, and I say, why did you quit going to church? And they'll say, well, you or somebody at the church let me down. And I'll say, I'm terribly sorry. I did not mean to let you down. And I'm sure whoever else let you down did not mean to. But you have forgotten one thing. You did not come to church to worship me. You did not come to church depending on somebody here. You are coming to church to worship God. And I'll guarantee you, if you'll look at Him, He will never, ever, ever, ever let you down. Great is the faithfulness of God. As we think about the faithfulness of God just for a few minutes, I want to say, first of all, God is thankful to forgive. Flip over in your Bible, almost to the end of your Bible, to the book of 1 John, and look at chapter 1 in the book of 1 John. Now, I ask you to turn to this because I want to really get into your mind. 1 John chapter number 1, and let me show you something about the faithfulness of God to forgive. Thank God He is faithful to forgive. 1 John chapter 1, and look at verse number 9. One of my favorite verses you've heard me say many times before. We're thinking about God being faithful. Look at it. If we confess our sins, He, God, is what? Well, I'll let you say that again. If we confess our sins, He, God, is what? Faithful. God is faithful. I'm preaching to you this morning on great is thy faithfulness. And the first thing is, God is faithful to forgive. Thank God for that. Hallelujah. That verse had no ifs, ands, buts, conditions about it. He just said, if we confess it, God can and will and does forgive it. Let me tell you the trick the devil will play on you. He'll get you, you get victory over most of your sins when you get saved. And in the next few months, you get victory over about the other 95%. But there seems like certain sins that haunt you. And if you're like me and most people, I've had person after person come in my office and they say, preacher, I can't quit doing a certain thing. I pray and I ask forgiveness, and then I think I'll never do it again, and in 2 months later, or 2 weeks later, I find myself doing that very same thing again. I find myself getting mad at my husband, or my kids, or saying something I shouldn't say, or my temper, or something like that. Now, what will happen is, you'll ask God to forgive you, and you'll feel okay. Then you'll ask God to forgive you, and you'll feel okay. Then you'll ask God to forgive you, and you'll feel okay. But the next thing you know, the next time you commit that sin, the devil will come to you and he'll say, God is tired of fooling with you. He is not going to forgive you anymore, and the devil will drive a wedge in between you and God. How many have never had that happen to you? Raise your hand. All right, about everybody in here. See, the devil puts something in between you and the Lord, and then the devil gets you thinking God's mad at you and won't forgive you anymore. And so you go stumbling, bumbling, blindly through your Christian life, hoping that someday you'll feel better, carrying a load of guilt when the Bible says that God is faithful to forgive. Now I tell you, friends, I know we don't deserve it. And it don't make a whole lot of sense to our rationality. But if this book is true, and I know it is, That book said if you confess your sin to God, that God had forgiven your sin. Now, the best thing for you to do is agree with God and believe them sins are gone and get up and go on and live your life. You're not supposed to sit around and whine and pout and bellyache about sins that God's already forgiven. It is an insult to God to ask Him to forgive you and then turn around and ask Him to forgive you again for the very same thing that you've been asking forgiveness for. God is faithful to forgive. We have it in our mind that we have to talk God into it. We have it in our mind that we're supposed to act humiliated enough and crawl and beg, and there's nothing wrong with that. Brother, I've crawled and begged many a time. But there comes a point where you must accept by faith God's forgiveness. And God is faithful to forgive. I want to say something that some of you may not understand, but it might help some of you, so that's why I'm going to say it. If I went by the calling of the life that I live, I would never be able to get up here and preach. People have the idea that preachers are perfect. People have the idea that a preacher has never done anything wrong. I'm here to confess to you and tell you this morning, if it was up to my life, I would never be able to stand here and preach in this pulpit. You know how I can get up here every Sunday morning? You say, well, how do you do it? I'll tell you how I do it. I stay on my knees every day begging God to have mercy on me and forgive me. I'm a sinner just like you are. Same thing bothers me, bothers you. I ain't no better than you. You're no better than me. We're all a bunch of sinners. It's just that some of us have learned the secret. And that God forgives sins. Hallelujah. God forgives sins. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to sit at home and pout and whine over sins that I can't go back and undo. I'm going to get up where the flow of Calvary is coming out and get up and say, God, I don't deserve it, but you're faithful and just to forgive me. I claim right now your forgiveness. And get up and go on for God. You're not forgiven by crying. You're not forgiven by begging. You're not forgiven by pleading. You're forgiven by believing what God said and confessing your sins. Anybody in here this morning can walk out that door with not one sin staining your soul and be clean and white as these little babies in here in the sight of God. That's good news this morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Those people in here, you've been carrying around guilt for a long time. And you feel bad. When we start singing these songs, you think, I ain't got no business singing this. The way I am, I'm a hypocrite. And all, you don't have to keep living like that. You don't have to go out of here feeling bad every day. You don't have to turn your head every time you see me coming down the street. I'm going to shake my hand, you know, like that. You can get forgiveness, man. You can get it right. You can be forgiven. You can be clean. Do you want to be? Well, I'm just like throwing your clothes in the washing machine and I'm coming out pure and white and clean. God can put you in His machine this morning and wash you and make you clean. And you'll put the, I mean, He's got Clorox, He's got bad sins. Don't you worry about that. And buddy, He'd make you whiter than ivory snow, man. And your soul be just as clean and white, whiter than the snow you see falling on the ground. That's how clean God can make your soul. He's faithful to forgive. Not only that, let me say secondly this morning, God is faithful to deliver. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Back there you left a little bit. I usually don't ask you to turn to Scriptures on Sunday morning like this, but I want you to look at it now and get this word faithful in your mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and a great verse that most some of you may know, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. By looking at it, I'll wait on you. I still hear a bunch of pages. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is what? Faithful. God is what? Faithful. To do what? Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. I've heard people say, Brother Danny, it just got, the pressure just got on me so much, I just couldn't help it. That is not true. God said He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. I've heard people say the temptation was so strong, I just couldn't resist it. You just told a lie. God made a way of escape. He is a deliverer, and He's faithful to make a way. If you'll notice, every time the devil tempts you, now mark what I say. If you'll notice, every time the devil puts a temptation in you, if you'll look over here, God makes a door. And you got a split second there to make up your mind whether you go out that door or face that temptation. I know what a lot of people's problem is. They see the temptation, they look over and see the door and act like they don't see the door and say, I couldn't help it. You're like that little boy who his mama kept spanking him for going swimming on the way home. She said, if you do that one more time, I'm going to wire you out. And he said, I ain't going to do it no more, mama. And he took his bathing suit with him to school. Just in case he's tempted. You already got in the back of your mind the devil's going to tempt you and you're going to give in, right? I mean, that's the way most people live. But I'm telling you this morning, God is faithful. I thought about the times. Somebody told me the other day, we were going up to Kentucky. And man, I was up there preaching this week. Yeah, I had to pop the sun shining. I ain't kidding you. There's this mountain just like this. And the house stuck out of it straight down the church. Straight down the driveway, and wasn't nothing but coal trucks bringing loads of coal in and out of there. I mean, you talk about the middle of nowhere, it's worse than Robbinsville, honest. It's way, way back in the sticks. And somebody said, boy, God must sure take care of you. And I said, that's right, He sure must. Because all the places I've been, the times I've drove home at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, I was so sleepy, I was just like this, boy. I've been so sleepy driving that only God got me home. I tell you what, I've never been drunk in my life. I've heard people say, I was so drunk, I don't know how I got home. And I can't say that because I've never been drunk. I don't know what it feels like. But I have been sleepy, man. And I've been so sleepy, I can't hardly stand. One time I was driving home, and I was like this, and I was trying to hold my eyes open, and they wouldn't hold open. And I saw this tractor and trailer come across like this. I said, good night, I better watch out for that truck. And I shook myself and looked, and all it was a bunch of reflectors on the side of the road. That was a truck. I'd done hallucinating. One time I saw a real skinny hitchhiker. I said, that's the skinniest car I ever seen in my life. And I got real close to it, and it was a sign. Lots of times. I bowed my head at red lights before and took a nap on it. And about that time, beep, somebody blew the horn behind you. And I tell you, I've thought about many times, how many times God, it's bound to be the Lord, has took care of me because I'd be so tired. I think, God, I can't make it. And somehow or another, next thing I know, I'd be pulling in Hoppy Tom and driving up in my driveway. That's God's faithfulness. Many, many times. I thought about one time I had, you remember my old van, my used to be van, a long time ago. Some of you do. That thing one time I had the drive shaft was about out of that thing. He'd been making a funny racket for a long time, and what I always did then, I just drove a vehicle till it made a racket. I figured, if it ain't making no racket, if it ain't complaining, then ain't wrong with it. When it started clicking, I'd have known it with a quart of oil. I wouldn't get no more oil, it started clicking again. Somebody said, you ever check your oil? Ain't no use check your oil, it clicks when it needs oil. They go tick, 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 tick. I pour oil into the house. And I got the mechanic, and I said, something on my van, it's making the funniest noise. Every time I take off, it goes, dum, and then it goes. He said, I can't believe you've been driving like this. I said, like what? He said, your drive shaft was hanging by nothing. I said, what's the drive shaft do? He said, well, put it this way. If that thing would have come loose, it would have stuck up in the ground and turned you a flip. He said, God must be watching over you. And I told a lot of people before, God takes care of fools and drunkards. I don't drink. So you can make up your mind. I'm telling you, God is faithful to deliver. One time me and these boys were up and preaching up in Tennessee. This was a long time ago. We used to take what we call missionary journeys. And we'd take, just get a bunch of load of tracts, and we'd take them and just hit the street preaching. Shopping centers, flea market. I mean, boy, just like a bunch of wild maniacs running through the crowd telling people God loved them, Jesus is coming soon. And we was up there, and I believe it was Kingsport, Tennessee one time, and we come through this parking lot, and the ride was set up. You know, had help me out now, Mama. And these rides were set up there. I had Ferris wheel and scrambler and all that kind of stuff. And these people, somebody said, "Man, look at that, a bunch of people." So we pulled in there and got out and started preaching. And the next thing I knew, we was having a time. And we preached there for about 30 minutes and gave out tracts and had a good time. About that time, there was a car pulled in there, and a guy got out and said, "Hey, you guys, you better get out of here. The police is on their way to get you right now." He said, "Follow me." I said, "Let's go, boys." We hopped in the van and followed that guy. I didn't even know who he was. And he stopped us down there and he said, "I'm a Christian. And I appreciate what y'all guys are doing out here." And he said, "I was over in a radio shack across the street and it came over the scanner. And the shopping center, they called the law on y'all and said there's a bunch of some nuts out there screaming hard. And I want the police to come down here and get them." And he said, "I heard it over the scanner and I thought I'd come over here and tell you before. And just follow me and we'll take you and get you something to eat." And he took us to a Christian home for kids. And they fed us dinner, and was good. And I'm just sitting there thinking about that. Here I am sitting over here eating dinner, enjoying myself, top coat yonder, looking for us in the parking lot. And I thought about how great God is to deliver. How great. The Lord done me that way more than once. One time I was over in Hendersonville, years ago, and I was preaching out there, and, you know, just street preaching. Sometimes they give you a hard time, sometimes they don't. And there's a right way and a wrong way to street preach, and you all know that, and we've done that for years and years and years. And I was over a long time ago, and I was preaching on the street, and there was, I was on the corner, and I was saying, "Prepare to meet God. The Lord's coming. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you." And I looked out of the corner of my eye, and I seen this cop headed right toward me. And most times there's not a law on the books that say you can't street preach. And there's a lot of confusion of the townspeople what the law is, so sometimes they get you and sometimes they don't. And I said, "Uh-oh, Lord, you're going to have to help me." And I just kept preaching. Act like I didn't see him. And about that time, there's an old clunker pulled up in a car and pulled in right beside where I was. There's a big, a little lady pulled in there in a car. And there's a big no parking sign there. Man, she didn't see that sign. She didn't need her license. And she pulled in there, and the officer looked at her, and he come, went over and started talking to her. And he said, "Now, ma'am, you're not allowed to park here. This is a no-parking zone." And she said, "But, officer, I'm only going to run in here just a minute." And I got her, and she just started, bud. And she wouldn't listen to him. And he was saying, "I'm sorry, ma'am. You can't park here. Now, listen here, young man." And she started all that stuff, and I looked over there, and something whispered in my ear and said, "Just keep preaching, son. God's delivering you." And I just kept on and on and on. It was while I looked, and they're still arguing. And I preached, and they're looking, and they're still arguing. Finally, I got through preaching, closed my Bible, walked off, and they're still standing there. And she just giving him down the road. I was laughing and having a good time, and some man come out of the store and give me $10, just right out of the blue. And I went and got in the store, and I thought, "Well, glory to God." And I took this boy's women to the steakhouse, and we sat there and talked about how good God was and how faithful He is. And many, many times I can tell you how that I have seen the big hand of God come down and deliver me. And let me say this also, folks. You may not see nothing obvious, but you don't know what God's delivering you from every day of your life that is not obvious. Sometimes people come in church and they'll say that. Or they'll say, "Well, come high getting killed on the way to church this morning. Some nut running right out in front of me. Thank God He delivered me." And I've wondered a lot of times, how come you have to almost get killed before you thank God? Think about all the times you didn't have a close call. Think about all the times God let your car stay on the highway and kept somebody from hitting you head on. He delivers us every day. And let me say, lastly, right quick, God is faithful to fulfill His word. Years and years ago, the missionaries kept going, and the atheists and skeptics got mad at the Bible. And one of them looked at the old book one time, and he said, "They're preaching that book. Everywhere I go, that book. Everywhere I go, there's churches popping up in Christians." He said, "The world's getting too small for that book. Either that book must go, or the world must go." Fellow said, "Goodbye, cruel world. book ain't going nowhere.
God is faithful to fulfill His Word. I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, in spite of what the skeptics say, in spite of what the people who on Geraldo and Phil Donahue want to argue about, and all they're doing is just throw around a bunch of opinions. It doesn't mean anything. I'll tell you, we have a solid rock to stand on that stood the test of time, that can predict the future and get it right and never miss it. You do well to believe what's in this book right here. You say, well, preacher, that book's got a lot of things in it. It's hard to believe. I know it, but this book has stood the test. If it says there's a heaven, there is a heaven. If this book says there's a hell, then there's a hell with fire in it. If this book says that there's the Lord is coming back, then the Lord is coming back. God's faithful to fulfill His Word. The Word of God's not bound. One of them Russian astronauts went up in a capsule and went around, orbited the Earth a few times, and he come back and told everybody there wasn't no God. Because he went up there and orbited around the world a few times and didn't see God. Somebody said, jump out of that capsule if you don't find out if there's God. You should change your tune, buddy. God ain't up there now. Them little guys just flying around them little bitty things. A few thousand miles from here. Man, you ain't getting nowhere to where God is. God's got a place far beyond the stars and the sky. Man's little finite peanut brain can't never get to where God is without the Lord's help. I was going to tell you a bunch of stuff here, but I think I'll mention something else. Last week at the youth rally when I gave a presentation on the coming of the Lord, listen carefully and I'm closing. I said, folks, I said the Lord is coming soon. And I said the signs are upon us. And I dealt with a little bit about cults and Satan worship. And a lot of folks out there are like, yeah, that's some sensational idea these preachers cook up to scare people. That stuff don't really happen. After I got through preaching, you wouldn't believe the people that came up to me. One young man came up to me right over on them steps. And he came up to me and he said, I sure appreciate that. He said, my brother is in a satanic cult right now. He just lived across the mountain. And I could tell you without getting real personal of about two or three others and things that's going on right here around in Marion. Of stuff that would make the hair stand up on the back of your neck. And a lot of folks thought, oh well, it's just nothing. And Monday and Tuesday, the news broke of what happened out in Brownsville, Texas, on the border of Texas and Mexico. Well, they've now uncovered over, I think, around 13 bodies of young men. These young men were sacrificed to Satan in rituals. And they're beginning to arrest the people involved, and the people saying there was in drug dealing and saying that we sacrificed these young men to Satan so that the devil would protect us from the police. And then suddenly everybody says, wow, it really is true. Now what you just saw this week is a great lesson. You can learn something about spirits here if you'll listen for the next 1 minute to what I'm getting ready to say. We've been preaching that stuff for years, and you have a tendency not to believe it. The news can say it one time, and everybody believes it. Can you see the difference? See, there's a spirit trying to get you not to believe what the preacher says. There's spirits in here working right now trying to get you not to believe what I'm saying. So, when we come up here on Sunday morning like this, we're fighting more than you realize we're fighting. And what you got to do is realize the devil is real. And God is real. And realize that you're in a real world that's headed for a real eternity. And oh dear, in the middle of all this,
it's great to know that he's faithful. Revelation 19:11, when Jesus comes back at the end of the tribulation, the Bible says in the Word of God, his name is called faithful. Amen? We'll still look at him when we're in heaven 1,000 years from now, 1,000,000 years from now, and say, great is thy faithfulness. Would you stand with me together with your heads bowed and eyes closed this morning? They're coming to get us a song. In just a moment, we're going to sing a verse of some song. God's dealing with you this morning. We're going to sing one verse of Just As I Am, Without One Plea, But That Thy Blood Was Shed For Me. You know, God's faithful this morning. God will forgive you of your sins if you would come to Him. And we're going to give you a chance to do that. Dear God in heaven, Lord, there's somebody here this morning. This is maybe the first time they've ever been, and maybe... There's a battle going on for their soul right now. Help them to step out of that seat. Make their way down to this altar before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we sing this morning, the Lord may be dealing with you. All this stuff this week on the news and all this stuff, you know, last Sunday what happened here, we had people saved Sunday morning, more got saved Sunday night. I don't know how many, probably 20 or more. We've had reports of kids that went back to their church and got saved Sunday morning. You wouldn't believe the stories I've heard from Kentucky all the way down to South Carolina about things that happened after last weekend. God wants to do the same thing for you. The Lord wants to get you in. Your time is running out. And every day you wait, it's getting a little closer and a little closer to your last chance. Don't wait, friend. If God's dealing with your heart, just step out of that seat this morning, come down here to this altar, and we'll have someone that'll pray with you and show you exactly what you've got to do to be saved or to be right with the Lord. You can do it. It ain't never going to get no easier. Why don't you come? On the first verse of this song, just get out of your seat. Walk down here and say, Dear God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And mean that thing. God is faithful to forgive you. He'll do it if you'll come. Will you let him? Come on right now. Come on right now while we sing. Come on, just right now on the first verse. Just get out of your seat and come. Just let the Lord help you this morning. Come on. Come on right now. God's speaking to your heart. God is speaking to your heart this morning. God is faithful to forgive, deliver, to save. Let God speak to you this morning. Will you come? Come on. Come on, let God. Let the Lord help you this morning. All right, while these are praying, we'll sing another verse. Another verse while some are praying. God is speaking to your heart this morning. Would you come? Amen. Amen. Bow your head just a moment. The Lord wants to help you this morning. You'll let Him. No one's talking. No one's leaving. We're going to pray with these on the altar. Dear God, I pray You'd have mercy on us this morning. We thank You for these that have come. We thank You for decisions that have been made, for hearts that have been touched. Lord, we're so thankful this morning for your faithfulness. It is great. We thank you and praise you for it. Have your way in our hearts and lives now. Lord, it's not too often that we can be reminded of how faithful you are. Lord, we preached on it every Sunday. Lord, we wouldn't be doing the subject justice of your faithfulness. Thank you for being faithful to us. Help us to be faithful to you for the cause of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.